You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to the Gold Standard Podcast. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera. That is Levin Black. Levin, it's Thursday, and we got a little bit of news because the 49ers may make a late free agent splash.
Before we get to that, how dare you wear a shirt that says Seattle on it? I don't care that it's the Mariners. It's a 49ers show. You can wear something that said Mariners, but to wear something that just says Seattle with a picture of a Seattle Mariners hat, not good enough.
It says Mariners on the bottom.
At the very bottom. Look, well, we can't see that while you're on the show. You had to stand up to show that. All I see is Seattle in big letters.
I knew you were going to mention that. I did my Mariners podcast earlier today. Didn't feel like changing the outfit. So, you know, I got the Seattle shirt on. I'm not going
to
lie.
It's so difficult to change shirts.
It is, especially for me. I'm so pumped about baseball. Like, baseball is my favorite sport. I've said that forever. I'm just super excited. Opening day is a week away. Shohei Ohtani is wrapped up in this friggin' gambling scandal as they're playing. Like, that's the sketchiest situation ever.
Yeah. I don't care how good of friends you are. Somebody that you met 6 years ago to be your interpreter, even if he became your best friend, you don't give him $4.5 million to pay off his gambling debts. Sorry. And the fact that he won't speak to the media, that's what guilty people do.
Well, like the interpreter, the whole thing is fascinating. The interpreter, when it first broke, spoke to ESPN. He gave a long interview, and then he went back and they changed the story. It's a whole mess. But anyway, this isn't a Shohei Ohtani podcast. It's a 49ers podcast. And we got a little news, Levin, because the 49ers are hosting Colts safety or former Colts safety, Julian Blackmon, on a visit today. That's exciting. We know the Niners are dipping into the safety market. They had Rayshon Jenkins in for a visit earlier this offseason. That didn't work out. But Blackmon, if you don't know, is coming off a career year with the Colts. 46.6 QBR he allowed when targeted. He had four picks last year. Just a 57.5 passer rating allowed. This could be a nice little signing for the Niners.
I think they need an insurance policy for Hufanga. You don't know what he's going to be. We've talked about that, but not gone crazy in depth with it. You know, we mentioned it during the regular season, but now's the time to really look at it. And the facts are, he's somebody that anticipates really well. And because he anticipates so well, it covers up for the fact that he's not fast at all. He's very slow. He's a limited physical specimen as a safety. So he injured his knee. If he's lost a step because of that, then he's not good enough anymore because he's already on that borderline.
Mike Silver wrote in one of his columns that Hufanga's starting spot is not assured, that he could very easily lose it. I think he, you know, looked at the safety market and said if the Niners wanted to make an improvement, they definitely can. I think there's a place for Hufanga on the team. I really do. I love Hufanga as a player. I love his instincts. I love the way he's always around the freaking ball. I wouldn't even, like, there could be a package. Let's say Blackman signs, right? If you have Jair Brown and you have Julian Blackman, and then you have Hufanga in there is sort of like a hybrid defensive back linebacker, kind of like a big dime situation or a big nickel situation, something like that. I feel like there's room for both, but I don't begrudge the 49ers at all for dipping their toe in the water and saying, hey, we think we can get better.
Yeah, I'm not saying Hufanga is not part of the equation. I'm saying they need an insurance policy, and I'm sure the Niners feel the same way. You don't know what he's going to be when he returns. Maybe he has fallen off. Maybe Jair Brown has a sophomore slump. Who knows? He only started, you know, the few games at the end. So it's not like he came in and, you know, turned the world upside down. He could have a sophomore slump to where you're wanting to put him, you know, on the back burner and get him to kind of refocus and learn some things that the teams are doing to attack him, whatever holes in his game exist. They need insurance. The two they have both have kind of question marks where you're not 100% sure they're starters.
And the other aspect of this, which, you know, we don't like to think about, but Blackman's only 25. He's an ascending player, and Hufanga's contract is up after next year. So that becomes part of it too, right? It's like, what if we like Hufanga, but on the open market, we think he's going to get more than he's worth. We need to have a backup plan in place. And then you throw on the ACL stuff on top of that. It makes sense why the 49ers would be looking into safety.
Right. I don't know what Hufanga is. Like, I was already, I was never huge into him. I do think at the end of that all pro year, like, he started out on fire. At the back half of it, teams kind of learned how to target him, how to limit his ability to make the game-changing plays. And without those, he's a below-average safety. The game-changing plays is what makes him different. If he can't have those, then you got somebody that you don't want as your starter. And I hate to say that. I like the guy. I love players that are more advanced in the mental game, that are great at anticipating. I like that more than just, here's a speed freak who makes up for all kinds of problems just because he can get there faster than anybody else. I like having that mental aspect, especially at a position like safety, where it's all about reading what's happening in front of you.
Exactly. Like, if there's a position where instincts, I think, are valuable, I think safety is it. But also, like, and this is good and bad, but Hufanga is a type of player that can cause chaos because he might just end up in a place that he's not supposed to be. Sometimes that can kill you. Sometimes that can lead to a great play as a defender. It depends on what goes on. But I do think that there's a little element of unpredictability to him that I kind of like. I feel like to this point, more often than not, he's been correct. You know, he's made more big plays than I think he's allowed. Now, like you said, I don't know if that will continue, if teams get more film on him, whatever. But I hope that I'd like to see him around the 49ers for a while, especially, I mean, obviously he'll be there this year. But that doesn't mean that you should stop looking. So I credit the 49ers for doing this. If Blackman doesn't sign, then I think they should still continue to look because there's still a bunch of good safeties that are still on the market.
Yeah, the safety position, free agent-wise, has kind of become, to bring it back to baseball, like the baseball market for everybody. Nobody signs in the safety market right away. It is a suppressed market because there were, just 5 years ago, there were a huge market for safety still. You had Matthew getting big money. You had, why am I drawing a blank? You got Seattle shirt throwing me off. The Seattle.
Jamal Adams.
No, the guy before him, part of the actual great Seattle defense. Not Cam Chancellor. Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas got a big deal and flamed out. I think teams have realized you don't need to spend money at safety. You can find guys that are good at that position on the cheap. You just might not have the otherworldly, complete difference, offensive game plan, wrecker, safety, but there's only a few of those in the league. And everybody else is kind of interchangeable. I mean, the Niners just did it for the last couple of years. They signed a veteran for dirt cheap, and he ended up being statistically one of the best starters in the league over the last 2 years.
Nick Ellert, YouTube channel member. Shout out to all our YouTube channel members, by the way. Please, if you want to support the channel, sign up and become a YouTube channel member. It's less than $3 a month. You get priority comment response, emojis, membership badges. Please do that. Nick Ellert says, Julian Blackmon has a history of injuries. He's kind of the Javon Kinlaw of safeties. I believe ACL and Achilles for Blackmon. I don't think so, because he played 15 games in 2020. He played 6 in 2021. Then he played 14. Then he played 15. So
yeah, it's not Kinlaw level, but he has had injuries. But he's been able to play a large majority of his games.
Kinlaw level is, yeah.
Let's Kinlaw say, level is different, yeah.
I wasn't upset that Kinlaw is now on the Jets.
Yeah. Kinlaw is very much closer to a herd level than actually being able to play through injuries. Like a, say, George Kittle or a Deebo Samuel. Those guys are always hurt in some way, but they are able to play through it a large majority of the time.
Speaking of 49ers wide receivers, Levin, I came to like a little bit of a realization yesterday, and I don't know. I don't like where I ended up. So for anyone that hopefully you download 49ers in 5, that's our daily 49ers update. It comes out every weekday morning. It's on YouTube as well. But it's just like what's going on with the 49ers. And the big news of today's 49ers in 5 is that Juwan Jennings signed his offer, his tender. So he's going to make $4.9 million this year. He'll be an unrestricted free agent after the year. And I was excited because I have, you know, really good feelings for Juwan Jennings. He makes a lot of big catches for this team. He had an incredible Super Bowl, only second player ever to have a receiving touchdown and a passing touchdown in that Super Bowl in the same one. So I was like, hey, Juwan Jennings, this is good. So I'm putting together 49ers in 5, and I'm looking, and I'm like, okay, good Super Bowl, $5 million contract. And I looked up his numbers. How many catches do you think Juwan Jennings had this year?
27.
19 catches. How many touchdowns do you think Juwan Jennings had in the regular season?
One.
That's correct. Very nice.
It's pretty sure on that one.
Now, I was a noted critic of Kyle Juszczyk. Everybody knows, right? I thought he should make no money. Otherwise, he should be cut because he didn't touch the ball enough, right? And the offense, they didn't use him. And now I look and I love Juwan Jennings, but I'm like, he touches the ball basically like Kyle Juszczyk touches the ball. Should I be calling for the 49ers to not have re-signed Juwan Jennings? I think in my head, Jennings' worth was like inflated because he made so many big plays. So I thought he touched the ball more than he did. And so now I feel like if I called for Juice to have to take, you know, way less of a salary, I should be mad that Juwan Jennings signed for $5 million.
Jennings has got a little over a bit of a pay, but there's a difference between Juice and Jennings, and it's because of the position. Juice, if you wanted to replace Juice, yes, you lose the receiving, but you can find blocking fullbacks. You can find so many of them. Like, that's not a problem in the league, because blocking as a fullback is basically run into the hole and hit anything that's in it. That's blocking as a fullback. As a wide receiver, yeah, the Niners don't pass enough for a third wide receiver to be featured enough, especially when the other two in front of him are star-level wide receivers. But he might be the best blocking wide receiver in the entire league. So if you got rid of him and replaced him, you're not finding somebody that, as a third wide receiver, is not going to get the ball much, but is going to make big impacts in the game by being a difference maker as a blocker in the run game. So you can't replace the other aspect that he does a large majority of the time. But for Juice, you can replace what he does a large majority of the time, blocking. I think that's the difference for me. Why I'm more okay with it. I still think it's an overpay, but I'm more okay with it than I am with Juice.
It's also a little different because Juwan Jennings was a restricted free agent and they put the second round tender on him. Like, they have to pay him this money. It was either pay him this money or lose him. Now, I should point out also, I give Juice credit because he took a way bigger pay cut than what was originally reported. Originally, it was like, oh, he's going to save $1.75 million. Yeah. No, turns out it's $4 million. That's a huge, huge difference. I still think he's overpaid, but credit to Juice for being willing to take less. I just was last night, I was like, should I be more upset about this considering how hard I banged on Juice? Because I try to be fair. I try to be fair and logical with my analysis. But I do think I'm biased towards Jennings because, I mean, 13 of his 19 catches went for either a first down or a touchdown last year. So, like, he didn't touch the ball a lot, but it was like every time he does, you're like, oh, yeah, Juwan, thank God.
I feel like he could be featured more, but the team just is not that type of team. And that's why I would say if it wasn't for his blocking, I would have major problems with his contract because you don't pay a third wide receiver if you're a team that's never going to pass to three options.
Right.
He's just different because you know what he is as a blocker, and he's a difference maker as a blocker, which is extremely rare at the wide receiver position. I would say there might be only a handful of wide receivers that can be on the field and be a receiving threat, but be a difference maker as a run blocker. And thus you can put him out there and not tip your hand. Cause that's the problem. Like, yeah, you could put some huge wide receivers out there that are good at blocking because they're virtually a tight end. But when they're out there, you know, they're running because the guy can't run a route to save his life. You know, there's guys out there like that. He's not like that. So he doesn't tip the hand by being out there, yet he gives you a huge advantage.
Waltony 101 on Twitch, shout out to the Twitch fam, says you also can't replace Juwan's elite level winding up the opposition. I totally agree. He does bring a level of physicality and a level of, I don't know, determination, whatever you want to call it, that is valuable and has an effect on everybody else. And I love this from Lauren Klein. Favorite play of the season was Juwan Jennings blocking the DB into the Gatorade on the sideline. Like, yeah. And Kyle talked about how, like, he does that in practice and teammates were getting mad at him for it, and Kyle was like, no man, this is just who he is. Not everybody's like that, and I do think that that has an effect on the rest of the team. I think that does matter. Does it matter to the tune of $5 million? That's debatable, but like I said, that was sort of baked into the contract that he had to sign.
Jennings is got his second contract essentially. Mm-hmm. $4.9 million, and he's only the second best and not even close seventh rounder that they've picked in the last few years.
They've gotten the value out of that guys spot.
Guys that are a long shot to even make the roster. He gets a second contract and he's not even close to being in the conversation for the best value as a seventh rounder on the team.
Juwan Jennings, Michelle Majuk's favorite player. She's so, I, you know, she's going to Florida tomorrow, so we're not going to do a show. I'm actually going to have Thor Nystrom on to do a little NFL draft talk instead, but I wanted to get Michelle's take on Juwan Jennings getting a second contract because she's so anti-Juwan.
She going on vacation or what's the dish here?
I guess she got family. She just let me know recently that it's happened. So she's out, which is a bummer because she advanced in the 49ers Media Madness tournament. And now we got a little gold standard on gold standard crime because she's facing Jason Aponte. So that is an interesting round two matchup.
Yeah, it's we'll see who wins. I don't know who the favorite would be in that one.
It's a tough one.
I would say I'm talking favorites. I'm not picking between the two of them, but I would say the favorite probably Jason, just because he ties into other 49ers coverage. Well, just here. So
I have a massive grudge against Jason because he eliminated me last year. So I hope he goes down in a giant ball of flames. And I will say that to his face. If you want to vote on the bracket, go to goldstandardniners.com. That's our website. Not now. This is our time. But you can go and vote in the second round 3 days. So it'll be today, tomorrow, and Saturday. That's the second round. Every round is 3 days. And then Sunday we'll start the new round. Levin, unfortunately, you've been eliminated.
Yeah, not surprised.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wayne, hat tip, congrats. I did not expect to win. I don't think there's anybody on this bracket that I would have expected to win. I have one of the lowest followings because a lot of that's me. Be honest here. I'm abrasive, especially on Twitter, where most of the clicks to get votes comes from. And I'm not going to change what I am. So I'm not going to placate to try to get more followers. And that works in my detriment to this. Not to say that I could suddenly win this thing if I changed my tune. Definitely could not.
Here's the thing. I will never win this thing. I'm facing Jennifer Lee Chan in round two. I have no shot to beat Jennifer. Because here's the thing. Jennifer doesn't do anything to make anyone mad.
Yeah.
I do a lot of stuff that ticks people off. So I have no shot to win this thing. And that's okay. Again, the point of this is to expose you to new content creators that you might not have seen before. I saw somebody talking about the bracket and they were like, well, I don't know who this person is. Yeah, that's the point. Go to Twitter, check out their Twitter feed, check out their work. Maybe you're missing out on some stuff that you think is really good and really cool. That is the point of the bracket. It's not, that's why I don't do seeds. Like, I'm not trying to do that. That's not the spirit of what we're trying to do here. We had some close votes in round 111. Here are the three closest matchups, okay? Damon Bruce beat Joe Shasky by 13 votes. That was the third closest. That one was a little surprising to me. By the way, our condolences to Joe. I understand his father recently passed away. I know he had to go and deal with that. So we wish him comfort in this time. Obviously, he could care less about the bracket. He's clearly got bigger things going on. That was the third closest. So Damon moves into round two. The second closest, Bonta Hill beat Brian Murphy by 5 votes, 645 to 640. That was surprising. You know, that little radio matchup there. Always like that. And the closest vote in round one came down to 3 votes. Akash Anavarathan beat John Chapman by 3 votes, 670 to 666.
Akash works in tech. Are we sure that's legitimate?
Talk about scandal. Forget Otani. If we have 49ers media madness scandals...
Yeah, did Otani gamble on this bracket? Did he place a wager?
No, but his interpreter did.
Yeah.
So that was the closest one. I was really surprised by that. Like, that is crazy. So round two, we got some interesting matchups in round two. Kyle Posey's up against Damon Bruce. I'm really interested to see where that goes. Jordan Elliott and Matt Maiocco. Jordan Elliott, little NBC Sports on NBC Sports Bay Area crime there.
Yeah, it's interesting, but that one's not going to be close.
Yeah, Maiocco.
Nothing against Jordan, but Maiocco's right now, I would say, probably the king of 49ers beat reporters.
I would agree. He got over 1,200 votes in round one. I already mentioned me and Jennifer Lee Chan. Steph Sanchez is facing Matt Barrows. That is a tough one for Steph. I love Steph, but she's the underdog in that one.
I just realized I'm the only one in the gold standard that did not advance. Now that one bothered me. Doesn't bother me. I lost. I fully expected that, but I'm the only one. Hold on here.
A lot of people are mad because Peacock and Crocker are facing each other in the second round. And they're saying, well, why should you do that? You should put them on opposite ends of the bracket. Some people think I did it intentionally so that we couldn't have a lockdown final. I promise you I didn't. I told you I randomized it to the point where I didn't even notice that this could happen in the second round. That's how random I made the matchups. So they are facing each other right now. Croc is the undisputed favorite. He's the defending champion. So I like Peacock, but I don't think he's got a shot.
Yeah. I think Croc's winning that one. I don't know that he'll win the bracket. We'll see. I was surprised that he was that popular last year. You know, I knew Croc had a strong following. I did not think he would win this bracket over, like, the big beat reporters. Like, I thought Maiocco was going to win last year. That was my favorite.
David 184 Infantry says, Levin getting knocked out in the first round is worse than Dalton losing Wade at the end of Roadhouse. Adios, mijo.
So, who's the guy I got to fight and rip their throat out then?
Oh, wow. That took a turn.
Have you seen the Roadhouse movie?
No.
Let me guess. No. Yeah.
Heinemann says.
That's what it does. It's one of the best fight scenes of any movie. That's why it's popular. The movie itself story is pretty crappy, But the fight scene is like a very technical, good fight scene where, yeah, it ends by him reaching up and ripping a guy's throat out.
So got to watch out for that. Hyman says Akash bought bots. That's hilarious. And Walt2101 says Levin got 0% of the Twitch vote.
Yeah, you too.
Oh, hey now. Okay. We'll get back to some 49ers talk in a minute, but let's just finish out a couple more matchups in round two. Vish is going up against Tim Kawakami. Vish is a very strong contender. Let me just tell you, Vish is very popular whenever we do these brackets. I wouldn't be shocked if Vish won that one, which is impressive because Tim is one of the big four beat writers for this team.
Yeah, not anymore. That's what I was going to say is Tim is not in the forefront anymore. You know, he's the editor of The Athletic. He occasionally writes things, but he's kind of in the background a lot more now. So I don't think he has quite the following that he once did because of his role change.
That could be true. Larry Kruger whooped Sour Death Sam, which I was really surprised about because I think Sam, like, nobody else does a show like Sour Death Sam. That 49ers Public Access is a different type of show, and I know a lot of people like it. I thought he was going to go on a little bit of a run. Knocked out in round one. Larry Kruger moves on to face Rohan from 49ers Web Zone. Niners Nation, excuse me. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how much Larry very strongly pushing for votes.
He was. He was tweeting it out.
If he ends up winning this thing, then pay attention to everybody else. If you tweet, you'll win.
I mean, there's nothing wrong.
I got no problem with it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just, he's the only one that's like really going, hey, go vote for me. So does that allow him to make a huge run and potentially win the thing?
I mean, if you ask, that certainly helps. So,
oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way, since we mentioned 49ers beat writers, you didn't respond to this when I texted it to you. So now I'm going to ask you about it on the air. Matt Barrows did a mailbag column recently. And it's a good column. I mentioned it in 49ers in 5. Everybody should go and read it. There's a lot of good info in there. But one of the questions in the mailbag column just bugged me. It just ticked. Not a question. The answer is really what bugged me. Michael C. wrote in and said, why do we have to hear breaking news from national guys rather than you and the other Matt? Which I think is a totally legitimate question. We've talked about it on the show, Levin. 49ers beat does not break news.
Yeah.
Here's the answer from Matt Barrows, who, by the way, we love Matt. We've had him on the show. He joined us at the Super Bowl. We respect Matt Barrows. He's one of the better 49ers beat writers out there. But Matt's answer was, what? He said, what? Are you forgetting about my Ben Bartsch scoop from March 10th? The reason might be that the 49ers and the 31 other teams own the NFL network and their reporters end up breaking the bulk of the league's transactions. It's probably a coincidence. I'm sorry, Matt, but that is not a good enough answer for me. That is kind of that answer really bugs me. Like, you're just defaulting to the NFL network. Like, that's not true. That's not true. Yes, they break a lot of stories, but you just don't throw up your hands and say, oh, well, like, that bothered me.
I think you might be reading a little too much into it, but I think it depends on the story. If it's a signing, the national guys tend to break it. If it's a trade, the national guys tend to break it. If somebody's retiring, I feel like that's where you start to get more like beat reporters, because sometimes those players go to a specific reporter they liked and said, I want you to do it. Like, I know for a fact,
yeah,
that's what happened with, my college buddy, Ryan Wood, who writes for Green Bay, when B.J. Raji wanted to retire. He reached out to him, said, I want you to write it and do the announcement. So, like, I feel like it depends on the story. Transactions, that's going to be national people because it goes to the league office. And that's, I think that's part of why the NFL people or Adam Schefter break it. It's because it went to the league office. So you have to have a contact at the league office to get the one up over the team.
See, but like, that's not a story to me because the team is going to announce that, right? When the 49ers sign Leonard Floyd, I don't need Mayoko to tweet it out 5 minutes before the 49ers do. That's not a 5 minute heads up is not breaking a story. A story is this Shohei Ohtani thing. That's breaking a story. Yeah. Or maybe a fight in the locker room, right? You hear the details of a fight in a locker room or disagreement, or something happens on the sideline, something like that, something that the team doesn't necessarily want right out there. That's a story.
Right. I'm sure the 49ers media does sit on certain things. Like at this point they have to, because there's been negative things that got out that didn't come from them. And that's what you're talking about. To me, what the 49ers media is lacking is what the industry calls enterprise stories. Those are more like you have your day-to-day beat reporting. What happened? When? You know, things like that. That's beat reporting. But the enterprise stories are the extra, the exclusives, the things nobody else does. A profile on a player, you know, an in-depth look at the training staff where you interview the training staff. Things that aren't just part of the day-to-day news cycle. And there's not that much of that around the 49ers. I feel like there's less than other fan bases, although obviously I don't follow other fan bases quite to this degree. So I can't speak of maybe this is an industry-wide change that I'm just only seeing now that I've focused in on the 49ers more and I'm no longer doing it myself. I don't know that aspect of it. But the thing, like a good example would be, you know, the breakdown between Harbaugh and Balke, where there was a massive problem. Yeah, there was a profile written that detailed everything that happened. The fact that Harbaugh literally went into Balke's office and destroyed his desk over a disagreement and stuff like that. But that came out a full year later. Those are the type of things that if you're truly plugged in and you're doing investigative journalism, you find out, you know, a week later while the season's still going on and people are forced to answer questions about it. Harbaugh never had to answer a question about whether or not that took place. Balke never had to answer a question about whether that took place. That's what's missing.
Jeff McClain is an Eagles reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He had a report last year that the Eagles were the most miserable 10-1 team in the league. That's breaking a story. Now, granted, it's a little different because the 49ers have been winning, so there hasn't been a lot of negative stuff, but this is not a one-year trend with the 49ers beat. This is a trend that has been going on for a while.
Right. And there's the story. It might be that same story, actually. I can't remember who wrote it, but talking about the Eagles and then after Big Dom was suspended, things went to crap because basically Sirianni was getting into it with players all over the sideline. And it was Big Dom that used to come play, you know, Mr. Policeman and keep the coach from overstepping and would pull him back in those cases. And when he wasn't there, that's what caused the rift between players and coaches. That's the type of story that I feel like we would have never learned about until like a year later when Sirianni is fired from being the Niners coach or something, you know, like that.
Yes, that's the difference. And so I saw that answer like, oh, well, the national guys get the stories. It's like, well, it's your job to find the stories. It's your job to do the digging. And I don't know. It just bugged me. And again, I like Matt. We've had him on the show. I would tell Matt to his face. I would ask him about that because it does bother me. Just like when he had the Brock Purdy report about the S2 test about how Brock Purdy's score was elite and he didn't report that Trey Lance's score was also elite. I had him on the show and asked him about that. So like, I'm not speaking out of turn here. But anyway, that just bugged me a little bit the wrong way. Anything else you want to add to that before we move on to the Brandon Ayuk stuff?
No, I mean, Nick Ellard has a good comment in there. I forgot to bring my mouse down today, but he asks, what about the story of Chase Young having neck issues? That just came out. That's a good example. That's a relevant, timely example because it just happened and nobody knew about it. Nobody knew that, not that it excuses the effort issues that he had, but okay, he had a neck injury. How did nobody know about that?
He had a neck injury that the 49ers knew about before they made the trade. Since come out that they were comfortable with the status of that injury when they made the trade, but it's also why they got him for so cheap. Was he even on the injury report?
No,
I don't even know about that. So yeah, I think it's fair to question. I think that any 49ers fan that doesn't question why this, like the situation is what it is, I think you're either naive or you just don't want to know anything bad ever. Like those are one of the two options. I know that Chase Sr. got in a little bit of hot water because Deebo Samuel blocked him and he did a video about that and everybody got all bent out of shape about it because he was saying that Brandon Ayuk is a better wide receiver and they accused him of like putting negativity out there. I don't even know what that means, but some people just don't want to hear anything bad about the team.
Yeah, that's why I got no following. I've been saying Ayuk's better than Debo and to move on from Debo for, what, 3 years now?
Well, you've been saying Ayuk's the better wide receiver since Ayuk was drafted. I have to give you credit for that.
I wouldn't say drafted. A couple games in, I saw the route running and thought, yeah, he's better. Because Debo can't get open in a paper bag at all.
No, he really can't. Speaking of Ayuk, by the way, I feel like all of a sudden the trade rumors have kind of stopped. We had the Jags. We had the Steelers for like a hot second. And now I haven't heard anything since that tweet from, I think, Andrew Filippone. I think that's who it was from 93.7 in Pittsburgh. Nothing. Cricket. We had the Ayuk tweet about Mike Tomlin, but that was it. There has been no rumors, no murmurs, no nothing.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You know what I mean?
Like, which, by the way,
things got pretty serious and they're like deep into negotiations. So nothing's coming out currently.
Well, again, I apologize for cutting you off, but like this is another example, right? All these Ayuk trade rumors. One has come from Mia O'Brien, who covers the Jags for 1010XL.
Local coverage.
Wow, we know who leaked that one.
Well, but regardless, they should be. Why have we heard nothing from 49ers beat writers about any of these rumors? Once that happens, right? Once you get the Mia O'Brien thing, you should, as somebody with sources, dive in. What are you hearing? Even if it's, hey, I talked to my sources and everybody denies it. It never happened. Okay. Yeah. That's something, but like this radio silence is that's what we're talking about.
Where's Silver? Mr. Connected. He's right on a lot of things. Why isn't he coming up? That's one thing that I find concerning as somebody that doesn't want to see Ayuk traded is I take that more as, okay, Silver called and they said, no, we are having to get discussions, but we don't want that out there. So he hasn't said anything. You know, that's what I feel like is going on right now is that the Niners truly are having discussions and it's very much up in the air whether or not Ayuk comes back. And the few people amongst the Niners reporters like Mike Silver that have contacts, those contacts are saying don't say shit about it right now because we don't want the truth out there.
And that was the other thing, too. There's been no denial from the 49ers themselves because if they wanted to deny it, they could deny it, right? Yeah. This punishment happened from the NFL about them losing draft picks and getting draft picks moved. The Niners immediately, boom, issued a statement, right? We got a response. There has been nothing about this. No denying it, no nothing.
No investigative journalism on that. Like, what happened? As I think it was actually Silver that tweeted, teams don't get moved down in the fourth and have a fifth round pick taken from them for simple accounting errors.
Right.
And they purposely were doing something to try to get an advantage.
The league says no. The 49ers said that wasn't the case. But, you know, Vish, we talked about it on Monday, and Vish is like, it's not just like one person is crunching the numbers and then they hand in their pen and paper to the NFL. Exactly. This is a $1 million company. It gets checked. It gets rechecked. There are layers
billion
of this thing.
Dollar company.
Right. So
there's, I would guarantee they probably have a staff. At least a dozen, if not two dozen, accountants, people whose job it is to number crunch. Now, they number crunch different things. Some of that's more like business analytics. You know, they're not just doing player contracts. They're doing the stadium number crunching, you know, all sorts of things. But they have a staff. And every single one of these things ends up being something that's not just double checked by one other person. It's like triple and quadruple checked by other departments, like every step of the way. Is double checked.
The Mike Florio pointed out the Atlanta Falcons got caught piping in crowd noise and they were punished. They lost a fifth round pick and they were fined $350,000. And that was for intentionally cheating, essentially. The 49ers, by the NFL's own admission and their admission, say this was not an intentional thing. It was an accidental thing. They never violated the salary cap. They weren't trying to cheat. And they got a harsher penalty than the Falcons? That seems weird.
Yeah. I mean, you could have a clerical error where they misinterpreted some stipulation where they have, you know, a detail on a player's contract. That cap hit, you know, that part of it hits at this date. And this part hits at this date. You know, the player contracts are insanely detailed. You know, what you see on Over the Cap is one little thing. Like a player's contract is going to be 30, 40 pages long. So it could be that they were doing a calculation based on something hitting at a specific date, and that date by NFL rule was wrong and it should have been at a different time, whether earlier or later. So the entire number is thrown off because you're calculating with numbers that are not correct. And that could, that's the problem with accounting, not to get into an accounting lesson, but if you mess up one number in the beginning, every number after is messed up. So they could have had a long string of things messed up off of one simple mistake in the beginning.
So that's another prime example where clearly there's more meat on the bone, but the 49ers probably don't want any more about it out there.
Right.
So if you put more out of it out there, the 49ers are going to get mad at you. And is that something that you want to deal with as a 49ers beat writer? I feel like overwhelmingly we've seen that answer come back most of the time is no.
Yeah, pretty much. There's nobody out there that walks that fine line of, all right, I will put out negative stuff when it's relevant. And I'll also like walks the full line of being fair, fair and everything. Going to do the negative, going to do the positive. That's it. We have one person that does the negative, but we all know Cone goes too far with it. And he purposely tries to spin everything negative because that's his shtick. And then you have the Lombardis of the world who purposely try to spin everything positive. And then you have people like Mayoko. I don't know Barrows, whether or not he does it. It certainly seems like it with the amount that doesn't get investigated, where they squash certain things. They might hear something, but then not put it out because they don't want to lose other things. The 49ers do seem to be much more willing of, all right, you published something I didn't like. I'm never calling on you. You're not getting a question in any press conference because – I mean, you saw it firsthand, but it was that way even at the college level when I was in college. You get to like a post-game press conference, there's 100 questions that want to be asked, and there's only going to be maybe a dozen. And so getting called on, if that's how the team plays it, is a way they can do a power move. Mm-hmm. And that's how that's how the Niners do it. They have a guy, he has to point at you, and that's when you get to ask your question. Whereas like when I was in college at Ball State, the way it worked was, basically, whoever didn't shut up was the one that got their question in. So you would just speak and you'd purposely try to jump in and beat it. You saw that a lot more with the player interviews where it was nonstop people going at it, trying to get in
at the edgewise. Super Bowl.
Right. So the NFL the 49ers have a ability to control the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, they have power over you as a reporter. So if you write something they don't like, you might not get called on for 3 weeks.
It's a way that, and they don't have to like take away your press pass, right? You're great. You have a press pass, Levin. You're at every press conference. We're not doing anything to you, but we're never going to call on you. So you're never going to get your question asked. Now you could still be in a locker room and find guys afterwards here and there, but that's a different thing. It's a different thing. And so do you think we'll find out more about this clerical error?
Yes, but it'll either be right before the season when training camp's already underway, or it'll be after the season. And I'm trying to think now. I would say that there's a decent chance that it's one of those, oh, they have Monday Night Football. Let's do a sit-down interview with John Lynch, and we'll ask a cupcake question and allow him to sidestep it so that it's addressed, but not really addressed.
Right, when Trey Lance got traded and then John Lynch was in the booth with Papa and Tim Ryan.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Good times. Anyway, that's the news as we see it. We will keep you posted if anything happens. Again, like and subscribe to the channel. Rate, review, and follow the Gold Standard Podcast Network. Go vote for the bracket, goldstandardniners.com. Vote in the 49ers Media Madness bracket. Round 2 starts today. I don't know who we're going to pick. There'll be at least one Gold Standard member next round because Jason and Michelle are facing each other. So one of us will survive. But please go and vote. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody, and we'll talk soon.
I got basketball to go watch.